You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 306.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 Hello and welcome to the Punk News Podcast. My name is Adam White, recording for you here in my basement in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Joining me on tonight's show, out of Los Angeles, Mr. Ricky Frankel, Punk News writer, editor, all-around man about town. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. Also, joining us under duress, under extreme circumstances, from an undisclosed location, from a cell phone, Mr. John Gentile. John, can you tell people where you are, or is that going to blow your cover?
Adam, you can't even refer to me as John now. From now on, refer to me as Agent Emu.
Okay. What happened to your laptop?
Oh, man. Listen. Well, Adam, I know you can identify with this. As you get older, every week where there's not a tragedy is an okay week. True?
Yeah.
So, man,
all right, I'll give you that.
So luckily I had no tragedies this week, but man, this week has just been a shit show of a week. Annoying thing after annoying thing after annoying thing. First of all, my cell phone, I get a message that says, you're over your data limit, we're going to cut your data speed to like 1/5. And I have no idea how I'm over the data limit, because all I ever do is like use it to call people, text, and like look at websites. I don't like go to like videos or anything, so I have no idea how that happened.
You're not on Pokemon Go?
I'm not on Pokemon Go, but maybe that's it. And then, so my computer, the hard drive crashes, which friggin' sucks. I go to the Apple store. I say, yo, fix my computer. And of course, they're like, we're the Apple geniuses. Don't you love your Apple? And it's extremely passive aggressive for them to say, like, don't you love your Apple? Because that puts me in the position of saying, no, I don't love my Apple, or me agreeing with them, even though I might not agree with them. I don't know Steve Jobs' goal in getting people to say, don't you love your Apple? It's not a great plan, and that's why people hate Steve Jobs. Anyway, they say, yo, I need to get my computer fixed. They're like, well, you can come. We're all filled up today. You can come back tomorrow at 3:30. I'm like, ah, whatever. So then I go home, and then my computer's completely whacked out. So I start my old computer, but my old computer, the batteries burn out, so you can plug it in, but it's got no battery. And so if you juggle it a little bit, it turns off. But I'm like, all right, well, at least I can, you know, get on the Punk News podcast and stuff. So I turn on Skype. Skype turns on, but it says, if you want to use Skype, you have to update it. So I'm like, all right, no problem. So I go to Skype.com, and I try to download Skype. And then Skype says, you can't download Skype because your browser is too old. So I go to Safari or whatever. I'm like, yo, I want to update my browser. And Safari's like, you can't update your browser. Your computer's too old. So basically, my computer's obsolete, even though it works just – my old computer's obsolete, even though it works just fine. Because Apple decided, you know, oh, well, you can't use it anymore, even though it works just fine. So then I'm like, all right, well, then maybe I'll do Skype on my cell phone. So I go to download Skype on my cell phone. It says, you can't download Skype on your cell phone because you haven't put in your Apple password yet. So I put in my Apple password. And then, actually, I try to put it in. It says, your Apple password is outdated. You need to pick a new one. So I go through that rigmarole. And then I finally get an Apple password. I log in. I go to download Skype. It says, you can't download Skype. You have to be connected to wireless, a wireless Ethernet. You can't do it through the phone itself. So then I have to go home, download it that way, and here I am. And to top it all off, as everybody knows, let me tell you, that is just the tip of the iceberg for my annoyances this week. My annoyances were not only technology, although they were a great deal of technology. My freaking propane tank ran out, so I called the propane guys. I'm like, well, listen, we're not going to talk about my propane tank, but many other things as well. And the icing on the cake is we always have like 7 asshole trolls at Punk News, and I try not to even think about them or read about them, but they crop up once in a while. And we always have one main one, and it's a law of the universe, Newton's fourth law. Whenever one of the main assholes goes away, another new main asshole arrives to take his place. But luckily, they haven't actually been that bad. And so that's great. You know, if they want to be pricks, whatever. But if they want to be like nasty jerks. And that it annoys me. I try to ignore him. Anyways, so I signed on this one completely. What's the opposite of malignant? What's the opposite of malignant?
Benign?
Benign. Some benign article. All of a sudden, one of the main asshole trolls, he starts round on me, and man, he picked the wrong day. Actually, no, it was two of them. Two of the main asshole trolls. And I don't even like dealing with them. I don't even like interacting with them. But they pushed me over the edge, and I crossed the line I said I would never cross, but I crossed it, and I'm glad I crossed it. So.
All he wanted was a Pepsi.
What's the line? Like, did you take a human life? Or?
No. I mean, honestly, like the vast majority of our commenters are nice people, and I like them. And even the ones that aren't nice, you know, maybe they got something going on at home. Maybe they're not happy with their situation. So maybe they sort of use it as an outlet to burn off whatever negative energies they have. I don't think that's healthy. But, you know, maybe some guy's got a really rough home life, and this is where he goes to get rid of his negative energy. So I understand that. But these two guys were just being super pricks, so I went personal. I usually always try to avoid going personal, but I'm like, you know what, this is the week. They picked a bad week to mess with me. I'm having a shitty week. They're being dicks. I'm going personal, and I call them losers, and they really are. If you sign on to Punk News every hour on the hour for the sole purpose of being nasty and try to make other people feel bad, and that's what gives you pleasure, you're a loser. So I call them both losers, which is not a nice thing to do, but in the situation, I think it was the right thing to do. So.
Well, I mean, if people log on to Punk News to work out their negative energy, I hope that people tune into the Punk News podcast to satisfy their pent up sexual energy. Because let me tell you, John, we have a sexy show tonight. We don't really, nothing happened this week. We have a bunch of cool audio, a bunch of cool tours, nothing super controversial to touch on. But we're going to hop from thing to thing to thing. And John, maybe the good company of Mr. Ricky Frankel and myself can help, you know, assuage your wounds. But
well, you know. Listen, if there's two guys that can brighten your day, it is Adam Way and Ricky Frankel. Let me tell you, they're always charming. It's always fun to hang out. I genuinely do look forward to the podcast every week. So I'm happy to be here with you two today, and I will promise my best not to be an Eeyore on tonight's podcast.
Yeah, so, and to all of our listeners, if we have some sort of crazy cell phone Skype-related issues happening tonight, my apologies in advance, but, you know, punk rock and all that. So, you know, before we get started, I went to a really cool show this week, but Ricky, what have you been seeing? You live in the city of shows where something's always going on.
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
I mean, I was at, I think the last one I went to, I went to like a small show at this place called the Redwood Bar and Grill. We post about a band called Decent Criminal every once in a while, and I saw them. I actually knew their guitarist from college before he was in the band. And I used to follow his other band called M Section. So I saw them, and one of the opening acts was actually Nick Oliveri doing an acoustic set, which is cool.
He knows those guys somehow, because I saw the Dwarves out here on the East Coast, and Nick was in the band, the Dwarves, of course, and that band, Decent Criminal, opened.
Because they share a drummer.
Oh, there you go. The Dwarves drummer is in Decent Criminal.
Yes.
Hunter Down, that's his name. Hunter Down.
I think that's him, yeah. And, they were cool. I hadn't seen their guitarist, Brian, since graduation, so that was cool. Got my album signed by them. I bought a, you know, poster and a 7-inch from them, and it was a cool night. And it was interesting. Nick Oliveri's acoustic act was interesting. I think it needs to be tightened up a little bit, but overall it's cool. He did a couple of Dwarves acoustic songs and then some like originals, and then he just left right after. But it was cool, Adam. Oh, wait, no, and then I got a couple cool shows coming up. I'm going to see The Falcon this coming Friday or Saturday, and then I got World Inferno Friendship Society and Culture Shock the next weekend. So, Adam, who did you see?
I had this local show here featuring a guy named Steve Lampke, and Steve is the lead guitarist and the... I want to say the sort of like second vocalist on the Constantines. So of course, Adam, Constantines, those two things come up in conversations a lot together. I just talked about myself in the third person in a really weird way there. But anyways, so he was playing on a rooftop on like the Niagara Artists Center. I've never been on the rooftop of Niagara Artists Center. I don't really know much about the Niagara Artists Center, except that they keep doing cool events. And I don't feel like they were a visible part of my of my mental conception of what the Niagara scene was up until a couple of years ago. So I'm super glad that they're there because they keep doing neat stuff. So I go up on this rooftop. It's beautiful. It's a super nice summer night. It's warm. There's some nice lighting up there. It was this kind of like cool, like, you know, urban rooftop hangout setting. They had like a big carpet on the floor, and Steve came up and did a bunch of acoustic solos. It wasn't even acoustic. It was his electric with him. Yeah, he did a solo set. It was pretty great. You know, a bunch of tables and chairs and maybe like 30 people up there, and everyone just sort of chilling out and watching him do his thing. He had a record that came out just this past year, which was on his label You've Changed Records, called Days of Heaven. It was the first record that he's released under his name. He's been performing as Baby Eagle for a number of years, or Baby Eagle and the Proud Mothers were the two versions of that band. But this is the first he's released on his own. And this record is super chill and folky and, you know, and probably not like super punk newsy or anything like that. So he played a lot of stuff from that, but he also played a lot of stuff from his earlier thing. And it was just nice. And I had this thing that popped into my head during the show that it was one of those perfect moments that I don't feel I've had a lot of lately, where I had like three or four sensory things all happening at the exact same time that all just sort of fit. Because I'm sitting there, I'm watching this guy play his guitar. He's singing songs I like. That's cool. It's nice out. I have a beer that I was very much enjoying. There was a citronella candle sitting on the table that we were on that was burning, and I've got this like smell thing happening, so now I've got like citronella burning into my brain. And I'm just like, this is nice. Holy fuck, this is nice. Like I'm not worried about anything right now. So yeah, it was cool. It was good. Then I did what I consider to be the lamest thing that I've done in a long time, and I guess I don't really regret it, but I feel like mentioning it, which is I'm going to leave. I wander over to the table where Steve's got his merch set up. I buy a copy of the LP. We start shooting the shit, and then I'm like, I gotta ask you because you're here. Like, what are the cons up to? Are you guys still gonna do more, you know, more shows or any of this? Because they got together and done some reunion shows a few years ago. And he gave me like the obvious diplomatic answer to that, which is like, yes, they want to do more stuff, but you know, everyone's in other bands right now, so it takes a while for them all to like get back and convene into one place to actually be able to do anything. But you know, the intention is that they will, and that's fine. I should have like, you know, shook his hand like a gentleman and left. But then I just like, you know, he didn't, there was no one else requesting his attention. So I'm just like, okay, Steve, back in like 2003, Suicide Squeeze released this EP between your first and second records that I really liked, and I don't know where it is. Like, it's not on anything these days. It's certainly not in press, but it's not on vinyl or anything. Like, what's going on with that? Is that ever going to be repressed? And like, I start asking him these nerdiest fucking questions that I could come up with for like 20 minutes, and he's just sitting there kindly fielding all of my dumb Constantine's minutia questions with good humor. And then afterwards I leave, and I'm like, I'm a fucking dummy. I don't know why I did that. I can't imagine that was how he wanted to spend the remainder of his evening, was answering stupid Constantine's questions to some fanboy. But that's what he did.
Don't feel bad. I mean, a lot of artists are excited when people are like really into their records, and some bands really like talking about like all the different pressings and stuff, you know. So I don't feel bad about that, Adam.
So you fanboyed a little hard. It's fine.
Yeah, he wasn't like trying to shuffle away or anything, but I can imagine like he finished talking to me and turned back to his wife and was just like, one of those. So anyways, yeah, that was, I wasn't quite sure afterwards. I'm walking away and I'm like, that wasn't very dude, Adam. The way that you did that could have been smoother. But, whatever. I regret nothing. In any case, here's a song from 2010. It's from when Steve was still using the name Baby Eagle for his band. back when they were doing things that were a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more on the punky side. This song is called Me Versus the Devil. It is off the Baby Eagle album Dog Weather from 2010 on You've Changed Records. All right, we're back on the Punk News Podcast. We're going to talk about some of the stories that happened in this past week. Like I said before we got here, a lot of tours, a lot of songs and things that were released. Not a lot of drama, except for maybe this one. So the I guess you can file this one under Who's Got More Clout. So the Warped Tour, the big massive summer punk festival, they have moved the date of their Phoenix show from August 2nd to August 4th. In order to avoid a clash with a Weezer and Panic at the Disco gig, which was also scheduled for August 2nd. Kevin Lyman, the tour head, he had this to say. He said, "Unfortunately, Vans Warped Tour and the Panic at the Disco and Weezer show were scheduled for the same day in Phoenix this year. We have heard from many people who wanted to go to both shows, so we were able to reschedule our Warped date to Thursday, August 4th. As a thank you, we've also decided that you can bring your Panic at the Disco / Weezer tickets to the box office on the 4th, and your ticket will only be $35, blah, 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 blah." So there you go. So now you can go see both of these things if you wanted to. This struck me as weird. I usually don't hear about like a major festival like the Warped Tour moving around a show, but it, you know, is a panic. I guess it's the exact same crowd that was going to these two things, but I almost figured that like that Warped would be the better draw.
I felt like these were two different audiences. That's what was kind of weird about it.
Well, I'm more conflating like Panic at the Disco and the Warped Tour.
Yeah, I was just so angrily confused at this thing. I'm like, what? I don't know. I got a bad taste in my mouth from this. Whatever. Don't go to either.
I was highly surprised by this because it costs a lot of money to reschedule a festival. Even if no other dates are booked, it costs a lot of money. Every vendor that's scheduled to be there, that all has to be rearranged, not necessarily renegotiated. So, I mean, and people like, you know, I hate Warped Tour. I never really had a connection to Warped Tour because I never went to any Warped Tour. Although, actually, the first couple did look kind of cool. The point being is that this bodes very poorly for Warped Tours. Not only can they not like compete against Weezer, like they have to shift around and offer discounts to get people to even come. So I don't think Kevin Lyman's a bad guy. I think he's a guy that wanted to start a cool music festival, and then when the realities of the changing of the tastes of the youth changed, he had to change with that or go belly up. So I think he's taking a beating, which is unfortunate, but I mean, I just think that it just shows that Warped Tour is not doing that well.
Yeah, I mean, I the optimistic way to look at something like this is just say like, oh, all the schedules just happen to allow them to do this without screwing up a lot of people. But I mean, I have to imagine, you know, something like Warped Tour, you have to have local, like a number of local, like maybe I was gonna say caterers, but maybe not caterers, but just like, I don't know, like the guys that bring in the porta potties or whatever. Like there's a number of like local concerns that have to be scheduled against the tour. It's an odd thing to move.
Not to mention permits. You got to contact the county for all the permits, because permits are specific to a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a feeling that you know, they've been doing this for such a long time. They probably have it all streamlined already, and they probably know everyone in every city they go to now. So they probably were more than prepared for this to happen. They probably figured this could happen at some point.
Ricky, I can tell that you're a young man that has never had to deal with unions or county employees.
I've been to the DMV at least twice.
So you know how hard it is to renew your license. So think about how hard it is to renew a license for, you know, 50,000 people or whatever Warped Tour draw.
But here's the thing. They managed. I mean, they did it. Or they're doing it. I mean, they seem to be able to manage it in a fairly short amount of time.
Well, I agree that they're doing it, but I don't think it's anything easy, and I think it's going to cost a lot of money, which shows that. I mean, honestly, if Warped Tour was drawing enough people, they wouldn't change. You know what I mean?
Okay, that I agree with.
So,
yeah, that's definitely curious. I mean, that show is less than a month away, so to move a festival date like that is—I usually don't see it. I mean, it's not the most dramatically controversial thing we've ever talked about on this show, but just it gave me pause when I saw that, because I'm like, really, you can just move a Warped Tour date around? That's weird. So
there's like 40 bands on Warped Tour. You know what I mean? I mean, they all have to do whatever Kevin Lyman says, because that's how he's got it set up. But it just doesn't bode well, you know. Although I gotta say, it's gotta be a check in Rivers Cuomo's pocket. He's like, I have the power to shift Warped Tour by myself.
Weezer should just start chasing the rest of the tour and just fucking with it. Okay, so we have lots of tours that we actually have to talk about this week. And these next three are all pretty cool, depending on where you live. I don't know the right way to go about this, so it's not just me blabbing on, but I guess I'll take the first story and then. And then Rick, you can do the next. So
sure.
So Brooklyn Vegan has announced that Bad Religion will be touring the U.S. with Against Me and Dave Haas. Dave Haas? Dave House? Dave Haas? I fuck it up every time. I really like him. I super like him as an artist. I can't pronounce his name for the life of me. Every time I hear him, I forget. Every time I see it in print, I forget. Anyways, Dave, whatever his name is, who's currently touring with the Falcon. Anyway, so Dave Haas, Against Me, Bad Religion. They're going to go on tour this fall. This is a tour which is set to be wrapped around the U.S. election, I am sure. And if you've seen the art on the tour posters, that's really clearly what they're shooting for. This is interesting in that Bad Religion last released a full length in 2013, which would have been True North. So I saw this and I'm like, this is a pretty large tour. It's a pretty hefty tour, it seems like to me, to be touring on nothing. I wonder if we're going to see something between now and then.
Right. But also keep in mind, this was actually, I think this was... This tour was supposed to happen in 2013 or 2014, because remember, Against Me was supposed to tour with Bad Religion a couple years ago, and had to bail for some reason, and I think the Bronx took their spot. They've been talking about that they've been, you know, working on new material, haven't they?
They have, and so I mean, I've got to, you know, my hope is that we actually hear something pre-election out of Bad Religion. That would be cool. So this thing kicks off on September 30th in New Jersey. It goes around the U.S. East Coast, down to Florida. Let's see here, how's this thing work? Through Texas, over to the West Coast. So if you're, as long as you don't live in like the, I don't know, the upper Midwest, this will probably visit you at some point. And it wraps up in November 3rd. So there you go. When is your election day?
It is November 4th. I will be at the Hollywood Palladium show just as President Trump gets elected.
No, sorry, yes, this actually wraps up November 4th. Our dates are out of order. Yeah. Weird. Anyways, so...
Well, yeah, but yeah, I bought my ticket for this one. Let's see. Yesterday, I think the pre-sale went on. So yeah, I will be at this. And I just found the other email. I mean, not the email. The article. They were supposed to... Against You was supposed to go on tour with them, with Bad Religion and Polar Bear Club in 2013, and had to drop off for due to current uncertainty over who is going to play drums with us. Oh, that's very interesting. This is before Adam was full-time drummer. Interesting. Okay.
This was back in the hopeful maybe Mike Yerg days.
Yes, it was.
Now, so you are going to be at this show at the Hollywood Palladium on Friday, November 4th. So the election results are going to come in while you are at a punk show.
I didn't even think about
this. And then
this
will be from stage. They will announce that Trump is now the president of the United States. Everything will get quiet for a little while. And then the stormtroopers will fucking bust down the door and just start cleansing all of you.
If I don't, you know what? I will. If I might try and get video of them announcing it. If they decide to do that, I think that'd be really interesting to post on the Punk News Instagram, either with a, you know, hey, guess what, guys? I didn't even think of that. That's going to be cool, actually. No matter who wins the election, it's still going to be cool.
Yeah, you should record something. Like the onstage banter in regards to it is definitely going to be interesting.
Well, I have a feeling, let's see, it'll elections probably go fairly into that. So it'll probably be like during, maybe at the end of Against Me set or right, maybe at the beginning of Bad Religion set. I don't know. I'm so, no, now I'm like doubly excited. I'm stoked to do that, to be at this play, at this show during election day. That's going to be cool.
Really, you shouldn't even vote. You should just get in line early to get into this show.
Ah, now, but here's the thing. California has mail-in ballots, so I will have voted probably weeks ahead of time.
Whoa, Ricky. So, you'll be able to vote in this presidential election. You'll have made up your mind weeks ahead of time?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I mean, what if Trump says something super insightful on like November 2nd and then... And then you voted.
Let's be honest.
It's going to be Ricky.
Hillary's taking California no matter what, dude. That's just what happens. So, yeah, I'll vote. But you know, let's be honest. The 55 electoral points usually go blue, regardless. But that would be quite the Hail Mary for Trump to say something. You know, like you're saying.
So I'm saying he's going to change your mind, and you're just going to be like, "Why? Why did I throw my vote away when I could have been part of the winning team here?"
But you know what? Also, like, you know what? If he wins, I'll be at a Bad Religion show right as America becomes great again.
I will enjoy watching all of you, you know, Thelma and Louise, your country off the edge of a cliff. I mean, I'm sure it'll have bad repercussions for our economy, but it's making good TV. Let me tell you, there's lots of nice long form pieces in the Atlantic. I can keep reading about
it's
this.
It's been, I gotta tell you, for as shitty as the election and the choices are, it's been literally the most, this is the most historic election I think we have been through in decades. And, it's even if you don't like both of them, it has still been, just from if you take a step back, it has been one way more fun than like any other election I've been, you know, somewhat paying attention to. So
fun, terrifying, you know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, you know, nervous, anxious, you know, the whole thing. It's, we'll see. But yeah, this, I'm looking forward to the show. I haven't seen Against Me in probably 9 months. I think, I don't know. Anyway, should we move on?
I thought you were going to say something like, I don't know, like a week and a bit.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, move on. Talk about some other Trump fans here.
Yeah. Speaking of making America great again, Propagandhi will be coming down here to play some Texas, Colorado, and Florida shows. And they also said that they were working on some new material, which should be interesting, especially since they have their new guitarist. I still have yet to see Propagandhi, but they're going to be playing some... I'm not going to try and pronounce that Finland festival they're going to this month, but they're going to be going through Colorado, like Colorado Springs, Denver, Dallas, San Antonio, and then Ybor City for pre-fest, and then Gainesville for the fest. So
for Fest.
Yeah. For Fest, yeah. So I wish I could see this. I would totally go. I wish I could go to Fest, but the prospect of new Propagandhi should be exciting everyone, no?
It always should. And I say that as someone that has like genuinely not been super into the last couple records that they've done, but I'm always excited to hear what they do with the next one, because I find that like whenever Propagandhi doesn't click for me, it is never for lack of effort on their part. It's more just that they happen to be on some tangent that isn't really my bag. So, you know, I'm curious, like their new guitarist, like you saw the audition tape thing that she put in for it, like just yeah. Rips. So, you know, it's going to be cool. They're going to do cool
and
stuff.
And their Rebel Spell cover is quite good. That's probably the newest thing they've put out. I mean, but that was for the, that Rebel Spell comp went out.
Yeah. So anyways, Propagandhi tour dates, John, because you are on a phone, I'm mercifully going to make you not have to read stories. So you can just, you can just let me take these, unless you really like, you know, switching apps and talking.
I'm like the Statler and Waldorf of the punk news podcast this week.
Yeah, so I'll just keep going with this then. So speaking of Canada, Pop, they've announced a bunch of tour dates all throughout North America. They're going around this fall in support of The Dream Is Over, which is their really kicking new record that came out earlier this year. The first handful of shows, which are all happening in Canada, are going to be with Pew Pew Pew, which are their label mates up here in Canada. And then as they get into the States, there's a couple of weeks of dates where I'm not quite sure who's opening for them. But then after that, they are teaming up with Meatwave. Not Heatwave, Meatwave, who... I don't know, was Meatwave touring with them before? I know Meatwave was touring with the Dirty Nil for a while. But anyways, though, Meatwave. Meatwave is cool. They're touring with them later as they are playing throughout the States. So you can find all of those tour dates over on Punk News. The tour kicks off, at least the Canadian leg of the tour kicks off on the middle of October in Kingston, Ontario. They hop over into the States on the 21st of October, and then they are basically playing in the States all throughout, November 19th in Salt Lake City. Then they're back over the border into the west coast of Canada to play a bunch of shows there, coming back around home to Toronto for a show on December 15th. This Toronto hometown show at the end of their tour, I just keep seeing it mentioned in my circles on Facebook and things like that. It's going to be a banger, so that's probably one that... You want to go see if you live up in this area. So anyways, those are three quite cool tours.
Yes.
So Bad Religion, Against Me, Dave House, Propagandhi playing a bunch of shows on the way down to Fest, Pop touring with Pew 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 and Meatwave, all of those wonderful things are coming to America just before you are swallowed up into a black hole of eternal darkness forever.
If I can say, I just saw Pop, I think it was early last month, and fuck, those new songs live are awesome. Like I've seen Pup, I think that's my third time seeing Pup now. Goddamn, The Dream Is Over is not only a great album, but like those songs were so good, and they mastered them. I mean, obviously they've had a lot of practice, but they mastered those songs so fast. So, you know, props to them. That was a really, really good show. So go see them.
It's really clear.
The dream is over. More like the nightmare's begun.
I mean, so many of those songs, it sounds like those were tour written songs. Like those were written with live shows in mind. Like just the first two songs off the record. Like if they don't play those in the same sort of sequence that they show up on the record, just because they bleed into each other in the way that they do. Like I got to imagine they're starting every show with those two now at this point. But
they start out when I saw them. They started out with If This Tour Doesn't Kill You.
Yeah,
and then. And then they go right into DVP.
Just like on the record.
And then they kind of, it was actually, it seemed like it was sort of half the self-titled, half Dream Is Over.
Well, they have two records, so that's reasonable, I guess.
No, but like it's not like they got rid of they only had like a couple songs from the new record that they were playing, like some bands do. Mm. It's more like, it was pretty even-handed on this, it was a pretty even-handed set list.
The thing that to remember too is that like their self-titled record, it was out and they were touring on it for a year in Canada before it ever got out in the States. So mm-hmm. as far as you know, I'm sure how sick of that those songs those guys are at this point is more so than just the normal album cycle, because they had that whole, you know, Canadian band has to try to break in the States extra time to be lumped into there. So anyways, those are your tours that are all very cool. Ricky, play a song.
Okay, so a band I've been... I think I played this song by this band like one of the first times I was ever on the podcast. This band's called The Manx. They are a folk punk band out of Los Angeles. They crowdfunded their very first full length, I think last year, and then they finally got the album out on July 7th. I think. So it just came out. It's really good. If you're into like early Andrew Jackson Jihad, Days and Days, or Blackbird Rom, these guys are sort of in that sphere, but like kind of more wacky and more kind of upbeat and funny. So this song is from their album Voyage in Bad Taste.
That one, right?
Thank you, John. And
you mean Maggie Statler?
Yes. Sorry. So it's called the song is called Rainbow Hammer. It features King Buzzo from the Melvins.
Oh, it does?
Yes. Yes. See, you should have let me finish. Here's the Rainbow Hammer by the Manx.
All right, we're back. Great, Ricky. I'm a little bit worried that because we were bagging on Donald Trump that we're going to lose some of our loyal listeners. So to bring them back, we're going to talk about something that everyone loves, and that's the Descendants. Oh, yeah. So there is a new Descendants song, the second that they have released from Hypercaphenum Spazinate. This one is called Without Love. You can go check it out over on Punk News or on YouTube or you know wherever you like to consume your things. So this is the second song that they've released from the full length, which is coming out on Epitaph on July 29th. Victim of Me being the first of the two. This is Descendants more in Descendants ballad mode to me. This is them being a little bit more chill.
I thought this was very cool to be you-ish.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Well, really, oh, yeah. the problem I have with Descendants ballad mode is that Descendants ballad mode sounds so much like a million bands that try to sound like Descendants ballad mode that
when I first got tried getting into them, that was sort of my issue with the Descendants when I was a lot younger. I just felt like I had heard, you know, everyone else had tried copying them.
Yeah, which is a weird position for them to be in. But yeah, this is cool. Victim of Me is definitely more, it's going to grab you more and be more in your face. But, you know, these are the Descendants songs I think mean a lot to people. So it's, you know, it's there. You can check it out. It's cool. I'm still really fucking excited about this record.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I think I definitely liked Victim of Me more, but I was not at all put off by Without Love. I mean, this seems to be taking the best of both. So far, the album seems to be taking the best of both worlds, the more melodic and then the more aggressive Descendants. So I'm still very excited about this too.
What I'm kind of hoping, and I know this is maybe out of character for them, is that they do the melodic, they do the aggressive, and they don't feel the need to put, like, I don't know, like a song about buttholes in between the two of them because they have that habit, right? So
I can find the look
at the track listing and see if you can extrapolate which of those are about farts.
I mean coffee or
no coffee's else. Fine, I'm cool with that. Just anyways, John, did you listen to this? Is this
I agree with most of you guys. I mean, honestly, my favorite Descendants record is always going to be Milo's Goes to College. I usually don't like it when bands, like, you know, have a really fine gloss or sheen on the record, but I think the Descendants fans are going to love this record. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say about it. You know, it's the Descendants doing what the Descendants do. I like when they're harder, nastier, and angrier, but some people do like the ballads. And frankly, pretty much all pop punk today is generated from the Ramones and the Descendants. And this is, you know, one of those two main rivers that feeds into the Nile. That is the pop punk of today.
Ooh, look at that. The green version is sold out. Nice. Hang on a second. Okay, so I'm looking at the
Are you actually looking
track
for
listing.
You're looking for, yes, titles that are suspect?
No Fat Burger. Are we and then Fighting Myself? No.
No, that could be about the butt.
Yeah. Actually,
let's see how many of these titles we can imply are about the butt. Go ahead, Ricky, start reading titles.
I don't want to read the first one. It'll be gross.
What is it?
Feel This.
Yep.
What's the second one?
A Victim of Me. I think I'm not seeing anything about coffee or butts. So unless the wild card might be the song Smile.
Well, I mean, like, Blast Off was about butts, but it wasn't called that, right? So anything, Ricky, can be about butts. So,
they haven't given us a good clue yet if butts are going to be a topic on the new Descendants record.
I know nothing about beach slang, but I really wanted to seg into this by going, speaking about butts. So beach slang have their second album. It's going to be called A Loud Bash of Teenage Feelings. It's coming out on September 23rd on Polyvinyl. The first single from the record is called Punks in a Disco Bar. So you can find that and the track listing and a good deal of dumb shit comments, I think. Is this the one? No, this wasn't the one. John, I think I stumbled upon the article you were ranting about. Anyways, so you can find the track listing and the songs and the song and no particular dumb shit comments of this over at Punk News right now. So I claim total ignorance on beach slang, but I know a lot of people love them. So this is here.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. So, why not?
Why not? Go check him out. I'm going to go check him out after this thing so I can actually know what we're talking about on this show. One more song that people probably want to hear.
You want me to read this one?
You can read this one.
What do you want me to do?
Read this one.
All right. New Jersey. Do it. New Jersey's Bouncing Souls have unveiled another song from their album over at Stereo Gum. The track is called Writing on the Wall, and it will be on their new album titled Simplicity, which is due out July 29th, 2016, the same day as a Descendants record on Rise Records. And you can find the song there. I think I said this about the last Bouncing Souls record we talked about on here. This was a very Bouncing Souls song. Lots of woes and soaring woe melodies and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I like this a lot.
You did?
I do. I like it a lot more than the other song that I heard from it. And I think, I almost think it's maybe a little bit of the drumming. Like, I think between hearing the last song and hearing this one, my brain processed the fact that Hot Water Music's George Ribello was drumming on this record, and that made me pay more attention when this came out. And I'm like, yeah, I like this. This is cool. There's moments on this that I can get kind of that. I can get a little bit of the Hot Water Music vibe in between some of the Bouncing Souls woozy stuff. So yeah,
maybe that's what I was noticing. Cause I mean, I've seen the Bouncing Souls live before, and I've listened to them on occasion. I've never been as huge a fan as you, Adam, and other people on the staff like Sam. But this was cool. I mean, I'll check out the album. But they never done like a whole lot for me. I don't know.
I have been in shows with certain Punk News people watching the Bouncing Souls played, and I swear there were like tears on people's faces. Like, there's a lot of our staff that just adores this band, myself included, for the most part.
I saw the writing on the wall, and it said terrible. this is fine. Bouncing Souls are cool. I'm a huge fan. This is cool, you know.
It's fine.
Oh, we're so passionate about everything on tonight's show. Not
a big news week. It would have been a good week to do our themed week this week. Too bad my computer totally crapped out.
Yep. Yeah. Too bad.
I had a good song for that theme. But anyway, yeah.
So John, are you going to play a song? Do you even know which music exists now that your computer's exploded? Or
this is another reason why I hate Apple. I lost all my MP3s. I'm done with MP3s, man. No more MP3s. I hate MP3s. I'm not playing anything this week out of protest, but also because I don't have access to Dropbox right now. So I'm going to say I'm not playing anything out of protest and how much I hate Steve Jobs, but it's really because I don't have Dropbox access right now. Let's have a moment of silence for my wrecked computer. Let's bow our heads in silence. And that was the moment of silence for my wrecked computer, which will go under the operating table next week, and hopefully it'll make it through.
And so I guess this has been the Punk News Podcast for this is episode 307. My name is Adam White. If you want to email us, you can email us at podcast@punknews.org. You have been listening to Mr. Ricky Frankel on the drums and Mr. John Gentile on bass. Thank you to Greg Simpson for, you know, producing this shit and for having to, deal with all of the audio insanity that we throw his way. I actually wanted to throw a little shout out at the end of this to the latest episode of Greg and Scott Heisel's podcast, Best Midwestern. I can never say it quickly because I keep stumbling over it. There is a rant at the start of that episode from Mr. Scott Heisel about the new Blink 182 record that came out.
Oh, I heard it. It was brilliant.
And I see back in the early days of Punk News, if Scott was reliably one thing, it was like incredibly verbose about both the Alkaline Trio and Blink-182. He always had an opinion and something to say about both of those bands. And he certainly has something to say about the combination of those bands. And it is it is a little bit of audio gold to go listen to Scott.
Brilliant. I was listening in because they also talk about the new Direct Hit album. So I wanted to see what that was all about and what they thought. But once he starts going, I mean, he just doesn't stop. I was laughing quite a bit. It was quite good.
Yeah. So, anyways, so
I'll put Western, Best Western. They both put me to sleep.
So, anyways, there'll be a link to that in the show notes for this episode. So, thanks, Greg, and we'll see you guys later.